The morning today's daf and getting the daf daf zayin. We're on Vav Amud Beis. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf daf. As Lord Zechem Mishmatzli Gabriela Bashmuel. Let's continue where we left off yesterday. We're towards the Bam the Amud, where the Gemara is wondering who Rabbi Aviasar is. Because Rabbi Aviasar gave a psak earlier in the daf. So. the psak was related to, once again, the issue that has captured our attention since the beginning of the Masechta, and that is the requirement, the need to sit b'fan nechta b'fan nechta. The Gemara's conclusions up until this point in time is that Rab and Rava agree, not totally, but agree, that the purpose of b'fan nechta b'fan nechta is to create kiyum hashtar. You need the document to be certified. The one shliach is empowered by the chacham to provide the certification, because when you're traveling, when you're bringing the get from a place where the original signatures of the get are unrecognizable to the local populace, so therefore this one shliach is going to provide the necessary testimony in order to create a kiyum hashtar, a certified document with authenticated signatures. We're all in agreement. Rabbah has an additional requirement, which is that he's also testifying for the purposes of lishma. That is the machlokus between Rabbah and Rava. But before the machlokus, they really agree fundamentally that it's for the purposes of kiyum hashtar. With that in mind, the Gemara then went into a lengthy discussion, since the beginning of the Masechta, in terms of when exactly are the parameters of when a person has to say b'fan nechta b'fan nechta. The Gemara concluded yesterday, if you remember from the from Vav Amud Aleph and onward towards the bottom of the Amud, so in the town of Mechuza, they basically require b'fan nechta b'fan nechta almost all the time. Right? The various opinions amongst the Amoraim in Mechuza, when you are crossing the street of Mechuza, it was the Rishus HaRabim, when you're going from one shchuna to another shchuna, and then ultimately the Gemara says, even within the same shchuna, you need to say b'fan nechta b'fan nechta. Rabbeinu Tam said, based on that Gemara, our niyug is that we always say b'fan nechtam when the shlich is delivering the get. We're more analogous to this town of Mechuza, where basically we're a transient community. People don't know each other. I certainly, outside of my own employers, I don't know anyone's signature. I couldn't identify anybody's signature. So the Gemara says that the practice is to say, Rabbeinu Tam says the practice is to say it all the time. The Gemara then issued a question regarding a town known as Sisai. This is taking us to Vav Amud Beis, and just reviewing, taking some of the highlights of the Gemara that we've been doing. So the top of Vav Amud Beis, where there was a question about a get that was delivered from Sisai, and it was even closer than Akko. Akko we talked about as being the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. You need to know that information later today as well. Akko was the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, but this was not as north as Akko. It was more southern than Akko. The question was: Does such a getting require b'fan nechtam b'fan nechtam? So, interestingly enough, the Gemara's answer is yes. Why? Because even if you don't have to say b'fan nechtam b'fan nechtam, once you say it, so then you validate the get and you make it now impervious to any challenges of the husband. So, another point that we learned yesterday is that even in a scenario where you don't have to say b'fan nechtam b'fan nechtam, but if you do say it, it creates a level of security and protection to the get. Then the Gemara had another question from Rav Aviasa to Rav Chista. So do you need to say b'fan nechtam b'fan nechtam? So if when traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so his response was no, you don't need to say it. So because there's so much traveling between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, so both of them are principal towns of learning, principal areas of learning. So Rav Aviasa's psak was you don't need to say b'fan nechtam b'fan nechtam. So the Gemara says, who's Rav Aviasa? Right, this is where we pretty much left off yesterday. Meaning, okay, he gave a psak, that's great, but who is he? So. And the Gemara notes that I can tell you this. I know the following by Rav Avyasar. He wasn't fluent in one halacha, and that's the halacha of sirtud. That when you write a pasuk in a letter, so you have to score. You have to make a line over the pasuk that you write. Okay, machlok is whether it's a minimum of three or four words where you need to make a sirtud. But anyway, you need to make a sirtud. He wrote a letter, and in which he chastised the community for allowing the husbands to go learn in Eretz Yisrael and leave their wives and their children behind and not support them and not take care of them. He felt that was wrong. He quoted the pasuk from Yoel. And anyway, when he quoted the pasuk from Yoel, he didn't make a sirtud. He didn't make a line over the pasuk. So which is a halacha. So the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara says ultimately that's not such a big challenge. He didn't know the halacha. Okay, you're not gonna lose points just because you don't know one halacha. The Gemara says, in any way, that halacha is not based on any type of logic or rationale. The Gemara says, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Oh, he should have known it. That's not. Certainly, he doesn't get downgraded from being a gavur rabba just for not knowing that halacha. So, and the Gemara says, and furthermore, the Gemara says, I'll say something positive about Rav Avyasar. This is where we're going to pick it up inside in the Gemara. Two lines from the bottom, va'od. On Vav Amud Beis, how Rav Avyasar who daskim mare al yadei. The Gemara says that Akash Baruch Hu agreed with Rav Avyasar. So we're going to see through the next 10-15 lines of Gemara that Rav Avyasar got the ultimate haskama. He got one from Akash Baruch Hu. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, "Vatizna la pilag shom." So the pilegesh ran away. She did something wrong. The husband was very angry, and she ran away. The last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim, Perik Yotest Chaf and Chaf Aleph, are all dedicated to the episode of Pilegesh Begiva. Mm-hmm. So right now we're quoting from the beginning of the episode where the Pelegish ran away. The Pelegish then was brutally raped and murdered, and an ensuing civil war came about amongst the Jewish people, Sheva Binyamin, against basically everybody else. It was a terrible civil war. Many people died, and there was a ban of marriage between the other Shvatim and Sheva Binyamin. Okay, it was terrible, and that is the end of Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim ends on a really terrible note. So the Gemara over here is at the very beginning of the episode of Pilegesh Begeva. What did she do wrong, this Pilegesh? So Rav Yasser Amar Zvav Matzalam. So Rav Yasser is of the opinion that there was a fly. We're going to explain in detail in just a moment what we're talking about. Rav Yonasan Amar Nima Matzabah. So Matzalam. The second opinion amongst the Amaraim is that there was a hare. Okay, so either a fly or a hare. So va'ashkechei Rav Avyasar Eliyahu, and then the Gemara brings us to a conversation between Avyasar and Eliyahu and Avi. Amarle my ka'avid Akash Baruch Hu. So now, of course, he's Eliyahu. He knows what is Akash Baruch Hu doing currently. So Amarle alsek bepelegish begiva. Akash Baruch Hu right now is in the sugya of pelegish begiva. Okay. Well, my ka'amar. So, what's he saying? Meaning, what is Akadosh Baruch Hu's opinion regarding the matter? Amalei of Yasa Bini Kachu Omer Yonasan Bini Kachu Omer. So Akadosh Baruch Hu is quoting Amoraim. Okay. So the Amoraim. To us, all this seems a little bit strange in the sense that, well, you know, usually we're learning and we're trying to discover the Torah. Here it's Akadosh Baruch Hu's learning and he's making an attempt to uncover. But as the Gemara in a moment is about to cite, this is one of the Gemaras that cites it, Elu ve'Elu, meaning that there's truth to both positions, and the Gemara is using this as a platform to make that point that there's truth to both positions. Am lechatz v'shal mamika sveka kamishmaya. So he says, I don't understand. Meaning, we have a different opinions because we differ. Meaning, I don't think he's right. He doesn't think I'm right. But how can Akash Baruch Hu cite differing opinions? So Eliyahu's response back to Rav Avyasar is, no, you're both right. Meaning, you're right. It's a Zvov. Rabbi Yonasan's right. It's a Nima. Correct. So Zvov Matzav V'lo Hikpid. Nima Matzav V'Hikpid. So what happened was is that it started with there was a philosophy. fly, and again, we'll be more detail in just a moment. There was a fly, so the husband let that one slide. But and then there was an ema, and then there was a hare, and at that point, the husband now had an aggregate of anger, and now with the hare, so the husband got angry with the pelegish and got so angry that she ran away. So that is the resolution of the steer. It's not a steer. They're both correct. Zvuv and ema are both correct. Each one of them had a mesora, and each one's mesora is correct. Okay, Adkan. So that's the Gemara's basic point, and the Gemara just the larger point which the Gemara just made is Eilu Ve'Eilu. And by the way, this is not on halacha. This is on agadata, meaning this is on how to understand Pesukim Nach. The Gemara says this both in terms of Agadata. The Gemara also quotes in terms of Halacha as well. Okay, a couple times in Shas, the Gemara introduces us to this position of Eilu Ve'Eilu, that there are multiple perspectives, and there could be truth to more than just one position, even though they seem to be differing with one another. The localized point the Gemara is making over here is that Rav Avyasar got a Haskama from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the point made is that Rav Avyasar is somebody. So when he issues a psak, so it's not it's a psak. It's a psak that's reliable. Amar Rav Yehuda. As long as we now quote the machlokas between Rav Avyasar and Rav Yonasan regarding the pelegish begiva. So we talked about a fly. We talked about a hare, but we weren't really that specific. The Gemara is going to be more specific. Amar Rav Yehuda's vuv bekar v'nima bosamakam. The fly was in the soup, and the nima was bosamakam. In other words, she didn't take care of herself, and there was a hare there. So zvuv miyisasa v'nima sakanta. So as far as the fly in the soup, that was disgusting. In terms of the hair bows on makom, so that was a sakana. Rashi points out that difficult to understand, but Rashi points out that it's leads to a possibility of kreshavcha, and so therefore it's a point of danger. Women back then used to take care of that. Okay, so Ikedam of the Gemara is a slightly different version. Id bikara, that they're both talking about a fly in the soup. In some. Venima, So the Gemara says, look, both the fly and the hare were both found in the soup. Okay, and when she presented, so the fly, he says that I can tolerate because the fly was onis, meaning the fly flew in by itself. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm not going to get angry for that. But the nima, but the hair, that's pshia, meaning that's something where she shouldn't have been more careful about. She shouldn't have allowed the hair to go into the soup. And so that's why he flew off the handle because of the nima. Amar Rav Chista. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Chista, l'olam ha'itol adam ema yisera misoch beso. Person shouldn't present too much anger within his house. Shari pilagish begiva hitol ala ba'ala ema yisera. Because the husband introduced too much anger into the house. And that led to the civil war between Sheva Binyamin and all the other Shvatim. Thousands and thousands of Jews died as a result of that. So not assigning blame to the Pelegish or to the husband, but you see what happened. In other words, things devolve, things just end up escalating. And over here, this got to the point of escalation where civil war. Amrav Yehuda Amrav Kolamatal Emi Ser B'Soch Beiso Stavul Bali Deishal Shaveros. A person who introduces too much anger to his home, so really it would result in a violation of the cardinal three. Gila Rai Shvichos Damin V'Chil Shabbos. Take it back. It would have been a Vodah Zarah. Okay, so two of the three. Gila Rai Shvichos Damin and Chil Shabbos. How does it result in those three? So Rashi. Rashi writes Gila Rai's. Last couple of Rashi's on the Amud. Kishemagiyas mantulasa beitzina v'hi yiralo marlo tavalti umisham sho nida. So Rashi cites an example. Here's one example where too much anger of the husband would lead to gilui arayos. Let's say it's lel mikvah and it's cold and she doesn't go to the mikvah. It's just too cold. But at the same time, she's afraid to tell her husband. So she goes out. She comes back home as if she told him the mikvah. She doesn't say anything. He doesn't know. He's mishamish nida. So that's Gilu Arayas. Next, Shvichus Dam and Rashi. Ki hachal pamim shebarechas mipanav nafas b'achas hapsachim abegesher. In other words, he's just too angry. She runs away from the house. And in her hysteria, she falls into a lake. She falls off of a bridge. That's shvichas damim. Chilul Shabbos. Next Rashi. Pa'amim shemadlekes ner o mevashals mishitachashecha mimnei eimaso vehuna yadeya. Chilul Shabbos. Let's say it's close to Shabbos. All the food's not prepared. She knows that when he comes home from shul and she forgot to prepare something or she forgot to light candles, that's no good. So despite the fact that it's already nighttime, the sun already set, but she figures, okay, but it's just a couple minutes after Shabbos began, she'll light the candle, she'll cook something, that's Chilul Shabbos. So because of her fear of the husband. So a fear of the husband puts too much fear in the house, so what results in is Gila Reshri Chazamim and Chilul Shabbos. Rashi gives examples for all three. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Hada Amar Rabban. We're on the very bottom of Avam and Beis. Shosha Darn Sarch Adam Lamar Besoch Beiso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. This is a Mishnah. We're familiar with this Mishnah. It's in the second parak of Shabbos. A person has to say three things when coming home. Yisartim Eravtim Hadliko Saner. So the first two are really question marks. Right? Yisartim, did you take off Meitzer? We're going to be eating fruit on Shabbos, but we can only eat the fruit on Shabbos if Trumas and Maestros were separated. Did you take off Trumas and Maestros? That's question. Two, Eravtem. Did you make an Erev? Rashi over here writes that we're talking about Erev Chatzeres. Tosus disagree. See Tosus for a discussion on this. But either way, did you make an Erev? In other words, we won't, according to Rashi, we won't be able to carry from our house into the Chatzer. Tosus offers a different shot. Either way, did you make an Erev? And finally, number three, Hadliku as an Erev. That's not a question. That's an instruction. Now it's time to light the Shabbos licht. So tzarich lememrenu binichusa. This is not the Mishnah, but rather this is Rabbi Barachana's instructions on the Mishnah. When you give instruction in your home, so you have to say binichusa. You have to say it calmly. You can't. You don't bark the orders out. You say it calmly, so that so you don't instill too much fear in your house. So kihech dilekabla minei, and so that it would be received. Right, barking the instructions is generally speaking not good. Not good because of the previous Gemara. Not good because simply you won't be listened to. So you say it calmly. You say it. You say it with a politeness, and you'll be listened to. Okay. So all these Gemaras are a takeoff of the Pilegish Begiva about how a person should not instill too much fear in his house. The top of Zion Amud Aleph Amar Rav Ashi Anol Shamina Lahad Rabba Barchana. So I never heard this from Rabba Barchana V'kiyamte Misvara, but I figured it out. Meaning, I basically understand what it means to be a mensch and to have refined midos. Right, not to yell, not to be too assertive. So I knew it. Amar Rabbi Abahu La'al Olam Ayitol Adam Ema Yisir B'soch Beiso. So the Gemara quotes one more statement regarding not to instill too much fear in your home, in your house. Rabbi Abba tells a story where there was a certain Adam Gadol. It was a great man, but he instilled too much fear in his house, and as a result of that, he was fed something which was absolutely prohibited. So, Rabbi Chanina Megamlil. First of all, Gemara says, let's identify this person, right? I know sometimes the Gemara seems to be in total violation of Lashon Hara, but obviously, in other words, the Gemara is using this as a point of education, a point of instruction. Even the greatest of people sometimes succumb to this problem of instilling too much fear in their home. So maybe that's one of the lessons learned over here in terms of identifying who it is. But the Gemara says it's Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. And Echiluhu, now, he ate something which was terribly usser. So what is it that he ate which was terribly usser? So the Gemara... Yeah, the Gemara is about to say. So, okay, I'm sorry. So, Hechilus Agadacha Hashta, the Gemara says, now, first of all, did he really eat something which was treif? Okay, I'm just using the treif right now in a very generic term. Did he eat something that was not kosher? Hashta b'hemtim shal tzadikim in the Kosh Baruch maybe tekala yadam. Tzadikim atzman lo kosher kain. So the Gemara says, we know that this is a story told in the beginning of Masechta Chulin, where even the animals of tzadikim would not eat tarfus. They would not eat something which was treif. So tzadikim themselves, there's no way, not even unwittingly, not even unknowingly, would end up eating treif. Kosh Baruch Hu provides a special protection, a hashkacha, so that they wouldn't eat something which is treif. So it just means that it almost got to the point where he ate treif, but everything was figured out pretty quickly, and he didn't eat it. But even getting to that point of almost eating, that was a punishment, that was an onesh, corresponding to the fact that he instilled too much fear in his house. Umay nihu, Eiver Menachai. Now, in terms of what this piece of real tarfus was, so the Gemara says it's Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai, the Gemara refers to it as something which is significantly prohibited. So, the Gemara earlier referred to it as a Dover Gadol, right? An interesting expression to use for Eiver Menachai. But Dover Gadol over here in the context of Eiver Menachai is the type of non-kosher which is not kosher for both us Jew and also non-Jew as well. Meaning it is universally not kosher. So that's why it's referred to as Dover Gadol, because it really spans the entire world population in terms of something that we're not allowed to ingest, we're not allowed to eat. No issur for an animal to eat treif. It's just right. Correct. It's just a special divine protection that's afforded to the tzaddikim. Okay. So that is the Gemara again, sticking to the theme of a person is not allowed to introduce too much ema yisera, too much fear, too much intimidation to his home. Bad things happen if a person does that. And the Gemara cited a number of examples. This is where the Gemara has concluded the discussion. A number of examples where instilling too much fear into your home is going to lead to devastating results. Just one point before we go on to the Gemara, and that is the top Tosus on Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosus points out over here, the Gemara says that tzaddikim afforded divine protection. They're not going to be eating treif, because Baruch Hu is going to make sure of it, even unknowingly. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Delo Parich El Agabi, Midi De Achila. So Rabbeinu Tam over here says, this Rabbeinu Tam finds himself a couple times in Shas. You can see all the side where Rabbeinu Tam is also quoted, but the he says this a number of places. This divine protection that's given to tzaddikim is limited to only achila, meaning that there is something especially degrading for somebody to be eating tarfas, for a tzaddik to be eating tarfas. Right? He writes the genayhu le tzaddik she'ochel davar iser. So it's degrading. It's humiliating. Right? The quotes you saw that was his topic of the day. So he quotes that right to matam temes alev. It right it's spiritually disastrous to eat treif, and so it's tzaddik, meaning it's tzaddik to do an avera unknowingly. Okay, that's that happens. We're not allowed to say it, but it happens, right? And Tosus himself points out there are many times in the Gemara where we find that b'shogeg unwittingly, unknowingly, so the averas are done. But to eat treif even unknowingly, so that Akash Baruch Hu provides a divine protection because it's something which is treif. He has a great discussion. Did you see it? He talked about somebody who was cholos yesh both sakana on Shabbos, somebody who is significantly ill on Shabbos, critically ill on Shabbos, where you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, and your options are right now, the only food you have is tarfus, and are you allowed to shecht an animal so that the person would not have to eat tarfus, which shechting an animal would involve more chilul Shabbos. And in terms of feeding the person, you already have food, but the food that you have is treif, so you're allowed to shech. So it's a discussion. It's not an easy question to answer. It's a discussion, but some of that hinges on the issue right over here. It's a really interesting discussion. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Okay, we are now in Zayin Amud Aleph. We're towards the top of the Amud. So Shalach Leimar Ukva. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Continuing, we talked about Sirtut. We talked about that when you write a pasuk in a letter, in a correspondence, so you have to score. Meaning we know that when you write a Sefer Torah, so the Sefer Torah has a line, and the Sofer follows the lines. But the writing of the line, the etching of the line, is there for aesthetic reasons. And it's also there because, really, switch the orders of what I just explained. It's there because it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, meaning a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, and then it's also there because it provides an aesthetic look to the Torah, that the lines are nice and straight, and the Sofer is going to be writing the Sefer Torah beautifully. Interesting, by the way, one of the Stam does not require Sirtut. Tefillin. Tefillin doesn't require Sirtut. The minhag is to put is to put lines in the tefillin, but me'ikar adin doesn't require sirtut. Again, why? Because it's halach l'moshe m'sinai, right? I'm sure there are more explanations given, but right now what you get from me is that's halach l'moshe m'sinai. So the shalach le mar ukva le rav Elazar b'nei adam omdim alai uviyadi le masrom le machus mahu. Okay, so in the theme of going back to the discussion of Sirtut, so the Gemara is going to tell a number of pieces of Agadata, and the common theme over here is that the Psukim are involved and the Sirtut that are involved, so the Gemara tells over. So Mar Ufa tells Rav Elazar, look, I have people who are they're really bothering me, right? The Gemara just simply says Ha'om Demalai. Rashi says L'charif L'gadev. They're taunting me. It sounds even harsher. Okay, abusing me, verbally abusing me. So and it's within my power to give them over to the government. So what should I do? So Mahu. So Sartiv Kasavlay. So in an answer, so he didn't give an answer, he just quoted a pasuk. And the pasuk reads, Amarti, Eshmara, Darchi Machtob Lashoni, Ashamra Lafi Machsom. So Beod Rasha Lenegdi. So the pasuk in Tehillim says that while the Rasha is standing up against me, so I should put a blockade on my mouth. Meaning, no, don't be moser. Don't give them over to the authorities. And, you know, it's a simple pshat in the pasuk, but even though they're rishom against me, but keep your mouth quiet. Don't give them over to the government. Don't snitch. Don't tell on the authorities. So, shakle kamitzar li tuva. So he wasn't satisfied with the answer, and he said, they're really bothering me, and I can't stand up against them. So Shalach Lay, so another response that he gave to him, another pasuk from Tehillim, Dom Lashem Vihit Cholal Lo, Dom Lashem Vahu Yapilem, Lecha Chalalim Chalalim, Ashkim Vahariv Aleim. So he quotes another pasuk from Tehillim, and his understanding of the pasuk is, Hashkim Vahariv Aleim Le Beis Medrash, Ve'ein Chalim Aleim. You go to the Beis Medrash early in the morning, you stay there till late at night, you learn, you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, and the matter will rectify itself. But in other words, but don't report them to the authorities. That's a moser, don't do that. So the Gemara says, and he did exactly as instructed, and like he predicted, Geniva, who was the name of the person who was, I guess, at the head of this little gang, of this bully. So he was sent away in chains. Okay, so exactly as he did. He did exactly as he was instructed. Went to the Beis Medrash, learned there from early morning to late evening. Problem resolved. Shach Leila Mar Ukva, Zimra Menalan De Aser. The question was asked to Mar Ukva, how do we know that Zimra nowadays is prohibited? We take a look at Rashi, Zimra. Rashi writes, L'shore Bebeis HaMishtaus. To sing in the wedding halls. You're not allowed to sing nowadays. And I know that sounds funny because that's all we do. You go to weddings. You go, right? Music, right? Right? We know that music is done all the time. The Gemara over here says it just assumes that it's usher, and the only question they're looking at is where do we know that it's usher? This should sound extraordinarily familiar to us because we just did the question in the Gemara Sota. In fact, the two Gemaras that discuss listening to music is found at the end of Masechta Sota and the beginning of Masechta Gittin. When we do the Daf Yomi, it sounds like, hey, just, you know, Gemara talks about it all the time. It doesn't, but just the two places it discusses it in Daf Yomi world are, you know, kind of right next to each other. You know, 2 weeks apart, not even. So the Gemara over here says, how do I know that listening to music is aser? Sirtei v'kasev. So once again, he scored, he made lines, and he wrote the following pasuk. Sirtei v'kasev lehu, atasamach Yisrael, el gil ba'amim, ulishalech lehu, I'm sorry, that's it, period. So don't, Yisrael should not rejoice while we're amongst the nations. Meaning, while we're in the diaspora, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have a right to rejoice and we can't sing. So that's the pasuk that he quoted from Sefer Hosea. The Gemara says, V'lishlech l'mahacha, the Gemara says, wow, I have another pasuk. Bashir lo yishtu yayin, yemar sheikha l'shoso. The pasuk says pretty clearly that you're not allowed to sing. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if only at that pasuk, I would have thought instrumental. Instrumental is prohibited. Aval depuma share, but I would have thought that if we're just talking vocals, vocals is fine. Kamash malan. The Gemara says vocals is also prohibited as well. Okay, so that's the Gemara's conclusion. You're not allowed to sing, not with instruments, and not even just vocals alone. A cappella is also prohibited as well. It's so interesting. We as Klal Yisrael, don't even we just learned the Gemara, and then after just learning Gemara, we're probably going to go listen to music. Yeah. right. So the Rambam probably of the Rishonim, the Rambam takes the Gemara the most literally. The Rambam writes that singing is usher, and not only instrumental singing, but also vocals as well as usher. Like the Rambam's position is like in the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Zech LeChorban, just to remind us of the state that we're in. So we shouldn't be happy, we shouldn't rejoice, and we shouldn't listen to music. So as you probably can guess, and you know you know this right, Ledvar Mitzvah, there's the Heter. You have the chassid in your blood. I know. the chassid there. So anyway, but there are, as you can imagine, there are a number of iterim that are espoused. But the Gemara, just today, I'm not the posek, I'm not the rav, I'm just presenting the Gemara and the Gemara itself. Kipshuto is that no, it's a Chorban Beis Hamikdash and just a recognition of where we are historically. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Nasan Rav Ashi Ma'adichsev Kina V'Dimona V'Adada. So he quotes the pasuk from Sefer Yoshua. We are in the middle of Sefer Yoshua, right in the second half of Sefer Yoshua. I say second half because the first half is the storyline where some of us are somewhat familiar with. But after the midpoint of Sefer Yoshua, like from Perek Yud Gimel Yudal onward, so from that point in time, it's just identifying. These cities in Eretz Yisrael are going to go to these Shvatim. It's allocation. It's an important discussion, but it's there's no storyline, there's no plot line, and so a lot of the time in the world of education, you skip it. So okay, I shouldn't say it, but it's true. So Kina v'Dimona v'Adada. So the Gemara over here identifies three localities within. If I'm correct, it's Shevet Yehuda. So anyway, so the Amrlei Matzvana Deretz Yisrael Kachashiv. So he says, what do you mean? They're talking about those are markers in Eretz Yisrael, lands that are meant to identify geographic areas in Eretz Yisrael. Amrlei Ata Ana Lo Yadana De Matzvana Deretz Yisrael Kachashiv. He says, you don't think I knew that? Of course I knew that. Ella Rav Gavia Me Argazia Amr Ba Taima. But rather, I know that various Amoraim, they darshan the words, the names of the locations. They're not just names of locations, but they also are encrypted with meaning. And the Gemara says, and this is how he understood the meaning of these. Again, the names of the cities are Kina, Dimona, and Adada. So, Kol Sheyesh Lo Kina Achavero, anyone who is jealousy of his friend, Vidomeim, and he is quiet, Shochina De'ad Oselo Din. Kadosh Baruch Hu does din for you. Okay, and by the way, it fits in wonderfully with what we learned just a moment ago about the bullies who were Mitzar, the Amora, and his instructions were, you be quiet, right? You go to the Beis Medrash, you learn the Beis Medrash, but you be quiet, you don't report anything, Akash Baruch will take care of it. So this fits in perfectly to what we learned just a couple of minutes ago. Amalei Elam Yata, so the Gemara says, okay, let's try this again, really. So you think the encrypted messages in the cities that are identified in Sefer Yoshua, what are you going to do with the following Pesach Lag, Umedamna, Visinstana? So, okay, those are three cities, and what are you going to do with that? Hachinami Amalei, Ihava Rav Gavia Mi Be Argiza, Hacha Hav Amraba. So he says, had I been Rav Gvia, so I probably would have said something like this. Amar Ba Taima, Rav Achim Bechuza, Amar Ba Hachi. Right, I'm sorry. If I went to Rav Gvia, he would have said something. Meaning he would have had a pshat in every one of the string of cities mentioned in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says Rav Acha from Bechuza actually had a drasha for these three cities. Mishiyesh Lo Tzakas Lagima. Achavero, anyone who has the word sakleg, sakas ligimah, it's like an acronym. So if you have a beef, if you have a problem with one of your friends, vid domain, but you don't let it out, you don't air it out, you're quiet. Shochem besneh, that who dwells within the sneh. Obviously, another reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the last word of the sanstana. Shochem besneh, osa lo din. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Amalei Reish Galusa L'Ravuna Kalila Manal and Asar. More questions about the post Chorban Nihugim. And again, we just did this at the end of Masechta Sota, so it sound, you know, this should sound familiar to us. The Kalila, the certain tiaras that are worn by the Kala. So how do I know that they're Asar? Amalei Midrabanan. So did not. So you can see, he says it's Asar Midrabanan. So I'm, in other words, we're not going to cite a pasuk that says it's Asar. It's just that the Chachamim instituted Zecher L'Chorban that you're not allowed to wear it. And he quotes the last Mishnah in Masechta Sota. B'Pulma Shalas Pasianos, when Vespasian had his campaign against Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, Gazru Ala Taros Chasanim Ba'al Ha'irus, so there was a gzera made against the wearing of these crowns. Adahachi Kam Rav Huna La'afnuye. Now, Rav Huna at that point in time gave the answer. And after he gave the answer, so nature called, and he went to go relieve himself. Amalei Rav Chista Kraksiv. So now, after Rav Huna leaves, the Rav Chista says, you know, I know Rav Huna said it's a Dinder Rabbanan, and that there's no pasuk that would speak to this idea, but while he's out, I'll just take the opportunity to point out that it is a pasuk, and you can find it within a pasuk. So, Ksiv Karmar Hashem Elokim, Haser HaMitznefes, Vare Matara, remove the Mitznefes, the curtain, and raise the Atara, raise the crown, Zos, Lo Zos, Hashvela Hagbea, Vagbea Hishpil. Lower that which is raised, and raise that which is lower. What is the pasuk in Yecheskel making reference to? V'chima Inya Mitznefes, Eitz Atara. What are we doing comparing a Mitznefes, which is one of the big day kahuna, and that which the atar, the crown wore by the chasan or the kala, elalam alchab is manshem mitzvahs berosh kol gadol atar berosh kol adam nistaka mitzvahs berosh kol gadol nistaka atar berosh kol adam. The mitznefes goes on the Kohen Gadol, so then everyone's entitled to wear the Atara. Chasanim are allowed to wear the Atara. But once the mitznefes leaves the Kohen Gadol, meaning Chorban Beit HaMikdash, now that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash anymore, so the Chasanim are no longer entitled to wear the crown. So, that's a pasuk in Yecheskel. So it sounds like it's a Din D'Rabbanan, but Din D'Rabbanan based on a pasuk, not like Rav Chista. Not like Rav Huna suggested. Adachi asa Rav Huna. So Rav Huna now comes back in, and you know he got a little bit upstaged in terms of the answer that he gave. And Rav Chista said, "No, I also have an answer." So Ashkechina Davi Yasve Amalei Alokim Derabanan. So Rav Huna says, "I'm right. It's a din derabanan." Ela Chista Shimcha veChazdain Milech. But he says to Rav Chista, "Your name is Rav Chista, and you say what you say, just like your name is Chesed. You have a certain amount of favor and grace, your words also are favorable." I mean, good. It's a good shot what you're saying. I'm not agreeing with you, but it sounds nice. Ravina Ashkechilamaber Ravashi Dahave Gadol Kalila Labarte. The Gemara continues now on this discussion. Ravina finds Marber Ravashi, who was stitching a tiara for his daughter. His daughter's getting married. Amalei Lo Sevel Amar Hashem Mitznefes V'Arei Matara. So he says the pasuk Yecheskel we just quoted. We don't wear tiaras nowadays. It's post Chorban. So Amalei Dumya Dekohen Gadol Begavre Avabanesh Elo. So he says, look, I like the drasha. The drasha is comparing the chasan to the Kohen Gadol. So good. So the chasan is not allowed to wear a crown. A woman's allowed to wear a tiara, some sort of crown on her head. So Maizos Lozos, the end of the pasuk in Yecheskel was a little cryptic. The Gemara says, could we decode? Darsh Rav Avira, Zimna Namalei Mishmei de Rav Ami, Zimna Namalei Mishmei de Rav Asi, Bishash Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Haser Mitznefes, Vare Mataram. So the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Jewish people, remove the Mitznefes, lift up the Ataram, or Malach HaShavos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimash Shalom, Zos Lam Yisrael. You know, the Jewish people, they're wonderful, right? Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes the Malachi Ashar is, you know, like they put us down, and sometimes they defend us. So here, defense. You know, those Jews, they're special people. They said Nasa V'nishma. Amalam Lozos Lehem L'Yisrael Sheishpilo Segavo V'Igbis HaShafel V'Emidu Tzelem Behechal. So Kosh Baruch Hu's response is, yeah, but That was once upon a time. Now look what's going on. They take the thing which is elevated, they lower it. They take that which is lower, they elevate it. Stelim behechel, they put a statue in the hechel. So in other words, okay, it's hard to defend the Jewish people at this point in time. Pasuk in Nachum. So, very difficult to understand. The Gemara, he says, a pshat. You see a person who is just making it by financially. So what you should do is counterintuitive advice. I know you're financially just making it by, but you got to make sure they give tzedakah. That's my financial advice to you. Give away some of your money. Now, it goes without saying that if you're not just financially squeaking by, but in other words, Baruch Hashem, you're comfortable, Kadosh Baruch Hu has allowed you to earn a lot of money, so for sure you should give tzedakah, meaning that's a no-brainer. The counterintuitive advice is that when you're counting every dollar, you should still be giving tzedakah. My v'chein ha-gozev ha-avar, tantebe rishon, kol ha-gozev min-echas v'osem em tzedakah. He says that the gozes is a reference to the following. If you, in other words, the analogy over here is like the sheep that has like a very, very heavy coat of wool. Shear it down, trim down, and in doing so, you're going to be saved from dinah shel gehinnom. Mashal shel rechel shehayu overos b'mayim. The Gemara gives a beautiful parable. It's like two sheep that are headed through some sort of thin passage of water. One is nice and shorn and now is really slender and can make you through the narrow passage, and the other one still has got that thick coat of wool. So gezuza avra, v'she'ena gezuza lo avra. Beautiful mashal. So the one that's nice and shorn, so is going to have no problem making it through the passage. The one that's laden with the wool, not going to make it through the passage. The hameven yavin, meaning that the person who is giving away tzedakah, so obviously he'll be quote unquote poor for it. No, he won't be poor. He'll be thin. He'll be slender. He'll make it through the passage. However, the one who is laden with all of his money, not going to make it through the passage. The inisecha, again, quoting the pasuk from Sefer Nachum, the Gemara now goes on. Amar Mazutra tapazainum and base. I feel ani mispanis min tzedaka. Yes, tzedaka. Even the ani who is getting money from the tzedaka, so he at the same time also needs to give tzedaka as well. Lo encha o tini Rav Yosef shuv ein marlo simani anios. And in doing so he will not have any type of simani anios. Meaning, if he knows that what you're supposed to do with money is give some of it away. So now you are a worthy custodian of the money. So Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward you in doing so as well. This Gemara complements the Gemara in Tanis very, very nicely. Right? We saw the Gemara in Tanis daf Tesef, I think. Where the Gemara over there is Aser to Aser, that you give money away and Kadosh Baruch Hu only will reward you with more money by giving him money. Aser b'shul shetis asher. Okay. Rebbe Yehuda Omer may rekam lemizrach. Okay, that was a lot of Agadata. That Agadata covered most of today's daf. Again, just as a quick recap, the Gemara cited the episode of Pelegish Begiva. We did so. It's like you follow the thought process of the Gemara. We quoted Pelegish Begiva because we want to know who Rav Avyasa was. Was he a Bar Hachi? Was he Bar Samchik? Somebody who could rely upon. So the Gemara quoted the episode of Pelegish Begiva because through that episode, we learned that HaKadosh Baruch himself agreed to Rabbi Avyasar, and he was in fact a Bar Samcha. One of the lessons learned from Pelegish Begiva was not to instill too much fear into your home, because in doing so, tragic results would happen. So then the Gemara launched into a discussion of not to introduce too much aim into your home. Then the Gemara went into a number of Amoraim who quoted Psukim. They were Misarte. They scored when responding. So it introduced us to topics of discussion of being quiet when people are bullying you, and song is usher, and wearing the tiara is usher, and the Gemara launched into many various issues that revolved around quoting a Psukim from Navi. Okay. But now all this brings us back to the Mishnah, and finally we are back to the Mishnah and back in commenting on the Mishnah. You'll remember the Mishnah back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So first of all, the basic halacha that when you bring a get mi Medina Sayam, you must say b'fanenechta. Okay, and the last week of Gemara discussed why that should be. Good. Then the Gemara brought in the opinion of Rebbe Gamliel, which is that when you bring a get from Rekem and Cheger, so you need to say Befanei Nechtav U Befanei Nechtav. And then the Gemara quoted the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, that even from Kfar Ludim to Lud, then the Gemara brought in the opinion of the Chachamim, that you only need to say Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtav, when you're going from Medinas Hayam into Eretz Yisroel. Okay, we already discussed at length what are the differences between the various Tanaim. Then the Gemara brought in the opinion of Shimon Gamliel that even when going from one governing body to another governing body, so where travel is restricted. Then the Gemara brought in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is what we're commenting on right now. I'm sorry, the Mishnah. And the Mishnah brings down, I'm just looking back at the Mishnah, back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mi Rekem LeMizrach Rekem KeMizrach. We're going over the parameters of Eretz Yisrael. So the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael is Rekem. Rekem itself is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ashkelon LaDarim, Ashkelon is the southern border, and Ashkelon is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Akko is the northern border. Akko itself is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. You remember Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph discussed that even the idea that Ashkelon is outside of Eretz Yisrael, how can you say that? So quoted the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, going all the way back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and Rabbeinu Tam says that in Kivush Rishon, when we came in with Yoshua and conquered Eretz Yisrael, obviously Ashkelon becomes part of Eretz Yisrael. But Kivashniyah, when we come in the second time, Ezra Nehemiah, so we didn't take control over all of Eretz Yisrael. That was Rabbeinu Tam. Our Mishnah was discussing the second Commonwealth, I think, in the academic world. Okay, I'm just pretending I'm academic. That's all. Let's go. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mirekem LeMizrach LeMemra DeAkko LeTzvona DeEretz Yisrael Kaima. So. Akko is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. Viraminu, the Gemara says on that, I'm going to ask you a question based on A. Tosefta in Masechta Olos. Hayim Ha'alach Me'akko L'Chziv. Let's say you're walking from Akko to Kziv. Now, we have it right now in our head geographically that Akko is the most north. So right now, with that orientation, it sounds like now going from Akko to Kziv, we're basically heading in a southern direction. So we're going from Akko to Kziv. Now, if you take a look on your right, everyone have a good orientation. So if you're walking from Akko to Kziv, and right now we think that we're headed south, southbound. So you're going to look to your right. What are you going to see if you look to your right? You're right. You're going to see the Mediterranean Ocean. So so it says that if you take a look to your right, so miyimino lemizrach haderech tamea mishum eretz ha'amim. So that's considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz ha'amim, which has a tuma derabbanan. Okay, upetura min ha'maiser u'min ha'shvias, and it's going to be exempt from maiser and from shvias because it's on Eretz Yisrael. Ad shivad elecha shehi chayeves mismolo, and if you now take a look to your left, it's like a tour guide. And if you take a look now to your left, haderech tahora mishum eretz ha'amim bechayeves bemaiser v'shvias. Ad shivad elecha shehi petura. The default setting for your left is that's part of Eretz Yisrael. So ad heichan, and until what point in time? Ad kiziv, until the town of Kziv. The only thing I can tell you is that Kziv comes up in Chumash by three parshios ago, right? Parshios Vayeshev, right? Kziv was identified as a town where Yehuda Yehuda gets married and he has three sons, and the town of Kziv is identified over there. That's my best bekius I could tell you. Anyway. Right, so the Gemara here, Gemara here calls it all the way north. Anyway, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yosi Omer Mishum Aviv Ad Lav Lavo. Okay, he says until the town of Lav Lavo. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, first of all, in terms of an orientation, what we're going to basically do is we're going to flip. Okay, we are not headed from Akko down south to Kziv. That's not how it is. But rather, Kziv is to the north of Akko. So even though the Mishnah in Gittin told us that the most northern boundary of Israel is Akko, yeah, for the most part. But there is a strip of land, however, that is even further north. We're talking about the basic body of the geography of Eretz Yisrael. But there's a northern strip even further north than Akko. So, Ritzua Nafka V'yayiv Tanis Nimana Hachi. Sorry, that's already the next question. By Ritzua Nafka. So there is a little strip of land. So you look at Rashi over here. Rashi, you know, when he does maps. So Rashi's not going to give you like a map that is true to, you know, true to geography. He's just giving you basic directions and basic orientations. So we have a decent idea of, you know, of what's going on. But basically, when you get to the northern town of Akko, so there is going to be a strip of land. And that, and what you're going to do now is you're going to walk from Akko northbound to Kiziv or Lavlavo, whichever position you're going to follow. And now the orientation is good. Meaning, when you look to the right, so that's Chutz Aretz. When you look to the left, so whatever from that road until the Mediterranean, that's going to be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's just go do a little bit more for today. And then tomorrow we'll pick it up. The Yaiv Tana Simani Hachi. Now the way Rashi understands the next Gemara's question is that really one strip of land is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos over here doesn't like Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Tosfos understands that the Gemara's question over here is that are we going to use a road to identify the borders of Eretz Yisrael? And the Gemara's answer is in yeah, Kranam Yaiv Simani Dechsev. Sure, all the time, all the time. We find that sometimes a road will be used as a border. A mesila, a road, a path. Meaning a path is used as a way of identifying a border between one town and the next. And Rav Papa says that to the east of the road. So in other words, yes, we do find that a road can be used as a means of identifying a border. Okay, period. Okay, let's just quickly recap what we saw today. Most of today was Agadita regarding not instilling anger in the house. Issues of singing being usher, tiara being usher, all lezecha chorban. Not reporting even someone who's bullying you, not reporting to the authorities, not being a moser, part of today's Gemara. And then we went back to the Mishnah, and in terms of the identification of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, so even though the Mishnah called Akko the most northern border, what we learned just now based on the Mishnah Tosefta Noalos is that that's not perfect. It's mostly accurate, it's not perfectly accurate. There is still a little bit further north of Eretz Yisrael, further north of Akko. It's a strip of land that takes you from Akko to the town of Kiziv. That's also considered part of Eretz Yisrael as well. Our Mishnah is talking about the basic, right, the body of Eretz Yisrael and what its northern parameter is. Tomorrow we pick it up from there.